Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Welcome to episode 171 of Her, the podcast where you hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her fat camp. What? Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. We have a terrific show coming up. And before we start, know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We sit around waiting to hear from you. That's right. Your feedback is that important. All right. It's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
So I'm reading one of my most favorite onlines, which is Greatest. It's great. I guess, what can I say? And there was this marvelous title on one of them, which just immediately caught my eye on this blog. The Truth About Weight Loss Camps. Ooh, I bet that got a little shudder from a whole bunch of you who are like veterans of those little boot camps. And I started reading about what this was all about and what the author, Taylor K. Phillips, talked about. And the way she talked about her experience just captivated me. I loved it. It was wonderful. I thought it really hit home on a whole bunch of different issues. So what the heck? Let's just start right on in and welcome Taylor K. Phillips to the Her podcast. You know, she's a writer and comedian living in New York City. Her work has been featured in Self Magazine, Greatest, McSweeney's, Reductress, and the Belladonna Comedy, among others. She's currently working on a book about her time at weight loss camp. Well, you better be doing that, Taylor. Welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, you better get this book out. I mean, if you're a comedian and if you write in an interesting and provocative way, the way I kind of read a lot of this in Greatest, this is going to be a hit, because I'm just saying that there are some amazing issues here that come out. It's like, oh dear, you know. So, you know, you wrote this piece 12 years after your camp experience. What got you going on this? Why not, you know, 20 years from now? What was going on in your life that made you write this?
I mean, actually, the real answer is I was cleaning out my apartment, and I found my old journal, and when I had gone to this weight loss camp, which I had pretty much blocked out of my mind, I became an avid journaler. I decided, even when I was 13, I was like, this is so intense. I'm going to write, you know, my book. This is my task, my Everest, and it will be my book. And as I read it 12 years later, as a 25-year-old who still struggles with weight and health, particularly in the modern era of how we talk to people, young people, especially women, about their bodies, I read through the journal and I was like, this is very messed up in a way that I didn't realize at the time. And, you know, 12 years ago, I decided that I wanted to go to a weight loss camp. It was 100% my decision. My mother and father pushed me toward it in no way. They made no comments. I want to say that over and over and over again, because my experience was not typical. I wanted to go. I was an athlete. I was unhappy with my body. And I thought that this would be the end all be all. I was going to go to camp for 3 weeks. I was going to lose the weight. I was going to come back and my whole life would be different, exactly the way that I thought, you know, skinny girls live their lives. I was going to get piggyback rides because people could pick me up. And what actually happened was just not the case. And it ended up not only being an experience that, while I did lose weight, was harmful toward the way that I looked at what weight loss was supposed to be, but also that sort of dissuaded me from, for a while, actively searching out ways to change myself, because I think that it gave me such a warped idea of what weight loss and health was supposed to be and what buckling down actually meant. And so, you know, 12 years later, I thought, okay, well, here's this story. And I looked up the camp and it's still running. And I thought, well, you know, if people are thinking of going or sending their kids there, I would like them to know that this is happening. And if anybody from the camp is reading this and they want to talk to me about changes they can make, by all means, hit me up.
All right. So, wow. Let's start with this, right? Let's start with the positives. What was something positive that you got out of going there, if at all, including things that may have been sustainable in your life, that kind of stuck, that worked for you, anything at all?
I think the big thing that I got from that, beyond the fact that, you know, I can do anything, it was a challenge that I faced, that I met, and really, you know, grounded myself in the support of my family and friends. The other thing that I got from that was that I was okay. You know, I went to camp, I was 13 and I was a little bit overweight, but I was an athlete and I did know how to make healthy choices already. And that, you know, to be there surrounded by people who had so many other negative things going on in their life that impacted their weight and were impacted by their weight, it really left me thinking, oh, I'm okay. I can do this. I have a strong enough sense of self to be in a place, to be uncomfortable, to work hard. I mean, I did do all the work. And it also really grounded me in my identity as a basketball player, because I had been a basketball player my entire life. And we had a free hour at camp that a lot of kids used to go to the pool or chill. And I went to the basketball court to shoot around for my own sort of personal therapy. And as soon as I got home, my game improved tenfold. And it really gave me an opportunity to focus and meditate and use my relationship to sports and to my body as a positive thing, as like a we can get through anything together.
I love that. And I'm, you know, to be fully transparent and just put it out there, I am a forward. Okay. I've been a forward in basketball forever. I'm at 5'9". You know, I'm probably a little shrimp, you know, compared to some of the tall girls today. But yeah, I'm like totally biased. So, you know, that's the only reason why I asked you on the podcast, because you are, you know,
absolutely.
Basketball.
Well, and
just
and
putting
I,
it out there.
I'm 5'6".
Just saying.
Yeah.
You're what?
Well, I'm 5'6". And I'm 5'6".
So what was your position?
Well, I was 5'6" at the time also. So I was doing jump hooks and post moves and working on my post moves because I was really tall at the time, and then I didn't get any bigger. So luckily I had a coach.
There went your career.
Yeah, exactly. So I was a shooting guard in high school, and that's it.
Okay. Well, you know something? That's good. They'll just pass it to you, and you better shoot it right, because, honey, that's all you can do when all the rest
Absolutely.
Of them are 6 feet tall. So, you know, you're just sort of putting it there and trying to be cool about it. All right. So, you know, I remember in your blog that a lot of the kids who were sent there under duress. You know, the parents basically looked at them, judged them, said that, you know, you're not really holding up the, you know, the family look here, and, you know, go somewhere and let's fix this up. Sort of like a Jiffy Lube thing, you know, the car's not quite working, let's do the Jiffy Lube thing. And that there was also, you know, more drama and trauma, you know, with a lot of these kids' backgrounds, and that you didn't have. And so I think, to a certain degree, what you were telling me on the positive end of it was that you were learning that, hey, you know, I'm not so bad after all. And, you know, I should be more, you know, maybe more grateful for kind of where I'm coming from here. And that's all good. So that really, I think that that's excellent as you go forward, et cetera. Did you learn anything at all about, you know, how to be able to achieve a weight that is healthier for you?
I have to be honest, it was, that did not feel like what the camp was about. And I think
what
was
it about?
More, it was about leaving smaller. And I was talking to my mom about this a little bit earlier today, and how, you know, Yes, at the end, they gave you a book with recipes that you could use, and we did go to cooking classes, and we did talk about things like that. But it really seemed, and the impression that I really got was that the objective was for you to like this, the version of yourself that you left camp as, so much more than the version that you started as, that you were scared to do anything else, that you were scared to ruin it. And the kids that were there, we didn't have, I went to a therapist at the camp, but I had to ask for it. My counselor had to say, something's wrong. She needs to go see the therapist, the singular camp therapist there for, who knows how many kids, from 7 to 25. And even then, my last week of camp, the therapist was taking her week off and she wasn't there. And I actually got an email from from somebody who also read my piece, who was a counselor there, saying that they also didn't have a way to deal with the mental stress that was on a lot of these kids, like you said, who were there under duress in negative family situations there because their family said, you're not, worthy of the way that our family is supposed to look in Christmas cards. And it was much more about rules and regulations, and your calories are limited. And if you, sneak food or, try to game the system in any way, you are failing, you are cheating, with no attempt to understand or help kids who were doing that for a reason and who were, had an issue with their relationship with food. And that wasn't what was solved. What was solved was, you want to lose weight, you're going to eat less and you're going to work out more, and that's it. And we're going to make sure that you do that so that we can send you home to your parents as a smaller person.
Interesting. So, in many respects, I love your constant reference to smaller. You're like, you're going to leave smaller. You'll be, smaller in what regard? It's like smaller self-esteem, smaller,
right,
a sense of self-worth, smaller, I think that's where it's at. I mean, the actual physical smaller thing is kind of, it's sort of buried with all of the other stuff. Because by the time you're done with camp, you're just hammered down to this little small thing. And the rules, the regs, and, I think when you come in, they don't trust you. So every package you get in, your luggage, they're searching through because they know there's contraband in there somewhere. And just the whole, kind of Gestapo thing that goes on with this, which is really quite fascinating. But really, do you, after your experience, feel that this kind of an environment, or just sending kids away to a camp kind of thing, could ever be successful, in achieving a healthier lifestyle type of attitude and behavior?
I think that the purpose of the camp needs to take a look at itself. The camp needs to take a look at itself and think about what it is really, really trying to do and who it is really for. And I think that it's as simple as, and this is, this is the English major and writer in me, but the difference between a weight loss camp and a camp for people who want to lose weight, I think, actually makes the difference that I think these camps could use. Because if the purpose of the camp is you will leave smaller, like you just said, and that's such a wonderful way to put it, you end up leaving physically smaller, but you end up smaller in a lot of other ways. And also with the idea that you could not do this on your own without a place and these rules and these regulations put in place. But I think if the focus switches to, this is for people motivated by themselves or who need a little bit of help or who maybe need an extra push. I'm not saying that the environment changing doesn't help. It absolutely does. But I think that saying the environment is the only way to do this, weight loss is good, weight gain is bad, period, makes it about the weight loss more than about the people who want to lose weight and the kids who want to lose weight, and talking to them about their relationship with their bodies and how to shift that in terms of, what is your body capable of? How do you want to treat your body so that you can get the most out of it? And workshops and conversations about people who want to lose weight and their relationship with their body, why they want to lose weight, what type of weight they want to lose, why they think weight loss is their goal. Is it they want to have more energy? Is it they want to be more accepted by their social group, which I think is a perfectly valid thing to want at any age, but particularly when you're 12, 13, 14, and focus really on what they want out of their lives rather than saying losing weight will solve the problems like you think it will, which right now I think is the message that we're being given.
Oh, yeah. And well, look what your expectations were. You know, everything's going to change. I'm going to be fine. Someone, you know, I could do piggyback, you know, on someone's back because now I won't feel like I'm, you know, an elephant on someone's back or something. And everything's going to be okay. I will live the life of a skinny girl. And there you have it. So it already seems to me that, you know, you had this whole stereotypic assumption that you're flipping a switch here and suddenly it's just all going to be different, all different, which of course it isn't because, you know, all you're really doing, if you just went there to, and I quote, get smaller, is you got small.
Right.
Physically, if indeed anything worked, use the term loosely here. But what else? I mean, how else does your life even change? So, you know, for kids who have drama and trauma, they're going to come home to the same drama and trauma that precipitated so much of this in the first place, because so many of these kids, you know, are comfort eaters, stress eaters, and Lord knows what they're putting up with at home, school, wherever, and back and forth. And, you know, it's one of the easiest ways to be able to soothe and anesthetize yourself from pain, from mental pain and angst. So, you know, is anyone really dealing with that? Are they, you know, working with the entire family? Are they kind of addressing these issues? Those are big question marks. I think that if you do, you know, look at it that way, you're going to have a much better, as it were, camp experience than just kind of looking at this as one big technical play, you know, for X number of weeks, these are the things you will do, almost like you're in an Olympic boot camp. Like, okay, fine, you want to increase your performance as a master's swimmer. All right, hop in the water. Let's rock. Right. There's no other thought to anything. OK. All right. So for the 50 meter, this is what you did. I want you to cut off half a second, you know, dot, dot, dot. Good luck with that. And so you're going to be working for 6 weeks, 8 weeks doing that. This is different. You know, this is a psychobiological play. It just is. Sorry.
Right.
And, does that make sense to you, Taylor?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is that, you know, you leave this camp where all you did was eat measured meals and do physical activity, and you're going back to most likely sit in a classroom for 7 hours. So, you know, how do we take what we've learned and the jump start that we've gotten, you know, because I think more than anything it is, you know, hopefully intended as a jump start, but then how do we take that into, okay, but you like to play video games, how do we schedule this time into your life? How do you deal with a pizza party? You know, these are kids who are going home to normal kid lives after being in a camp where, you know, somebody goes out and purchases, you know, almonds for snacks. How do you ask mom to buy almonds? You know, and that's something that I think was very overlooked, particularly just like you said, the involving family in it. And it's, you know, if you're an athlete and you're training, then you're training to be an athlete. If you're at a camp to lose weight, then you're losing weight, but then you get back into the world and you're not prepared for that. And I think that that's something.
Whereas being an athlete, you know, you go home and you're going to have a pool waiting for you if you're a master's athlete.
Absolutely.
Right? And so the pool's there, the coach is there. I mean, you know, it's the same old, you just got more intensive at the Olympic, you know, boot camp. But otherwise, the environment really didn't change very much. And this whole issue of environment and switching over to the real world makes me think of The Biggest Loser. Here you take people and throw them basically on an island for all intent and purposes. and, you know, beat him to death with the most bizarre, you know, physical activity I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, radically change how they eat. And then you ask them to go home to the same stuff that precipitated this in the first place. And who does this extreme stuff? So it, if anything, Biggest Loser was the biggest, you know, loser of a boot camp, of a fat camp that I've ever seen. And as you can clearly see by the, you know, the very sad statistics of weight regain, that, you know, it didn't really, you know, how'd that work for you? Not so well.
Absolutely.
So maybe one of the, maybe one of the things you could do in your book, hint, hint, I do have several New York Times bestsellers, so I'll give you a couple little secrets here, just saying.
Great.
Well,
please,
what you
tell
could
me
do,
all of them.
Yeah, man, you know, sit back and say to yourself, all right, well, I went through that experience. Do a little homework, look around at other kind of similar type experiences. You know, in other words, they may not call them, as it were, fat camps or, you know, whatever, weight loss camps, but something like that. And then close your eyes and just create one that you would have been proud to go to, that you would think would be more successful. How do you define success? Is it getting smaller or is it beginning to incorporate very different attitude, assumptions about body, where are the sustainable changes? See, success for me is sustainable. What can be sustainable? If you leave and just immediately revert, well, you know, that didn't go so well. But if you leave and, you know, 5 years later, there you are rocking it, I'm like, whatever she did had to be sticky and sustainable. Because she's still rocking it. She's making it happen. So I think in your book, which I'm just so happy you're writing, I think some of these issues really need to be brought out and be really open and even just like super harsh at times and say, don't do this. Don't do this other thing because it's not working. Doesn't work. Stop that stuff, right? And then instead,
absolutely,
do this. Switch it out. For everything that they did that was funky, switch it out. What would you have done instead? That kind of thing.
Absolutely. No, that's super helpful. I really appreciate that.
Well, of course. Now, you're writing this right now. When's this thing going to be published?
So I am working on writing, and I'm working on my proposal. So I am sort of doing the book and the proposal at the same time. I don't have, you know, it's in the very early stages. It came about sort of as a result of the article and while I was writing the piece. So it's still in very baby stages, but I want to definitely publish the journals that I wrote because first of all, they're very funny. It's 13-year-old me being very dramatic. And with, you know, it says a lot about, you know, my relationship to my body then, and it changes a lot now. But no, very, very in the stages. It's in proposal stages. Haven't even really sent anything out to agents. So if anybody, wants to work on it, please hit me up. It's in the very early stages,
so
which is great because I think I can definitely incorporate the idea of, you know, building my own camp individually.
Awesome,
as well.
Awesome. I love it. So, all right. I really feel that you've got grist for your mill here. And, you know, were any of the changes for you in the camp sustainable? You said that you were able to improve somewhat in terms of, you know, your overall body composition. Was any of that sustainable at all?
It was definitely sustainable. I mean, it's difficult to pinpoint what was sustained and what was growing from a 13-year-old into a 14 and 15-year-old. Playing, you know, a solid 14 hours of sports every week. But, you know, I lost 13.5 pounds while I was there over the course of 3 weeks. And those were, you know, not accounting for height, have been, you know, I've been mostly around that point with like about a, I mean, as I grew up, I've certainly gained some weight back. But it's the 15 to 20 pounds that we all, I think, those of us who weren't born skinny, oscillate between. So the results were, I think, as permanent as they could have been. It didn't sort of jumpstart 100-pound weight loss, but I didn't need 100-pound weight loss. So, you know, the answer is yes, absolutely. My time there changed me, and I did maintain the bodily changes. But I think more than that, it was, oh, I can do this on my own. Like, I can do this. I don't need to put myself through this in order to be a little bit well-behaved. And also, what I'm doing to my body by playing sports is such a positive thing.
Okay,
so,
excellent.
So in that regard,
and as we end this, as we end this whole thing, I also have a suggestion. I hope to heck you're incorporating some of this experience into your comedy routine. Are you?
Absolutely. I'm working on actually with my journal and the book. It's you know, you hope that everything that you look at, you can figure out where to put it. But it also, I think, lends itself very well to a fun one woman show about my time at fat camp and my time within my body outside. So I'm working with that. And then I also have plenty of jokes, self-deprecating jokes about my body and my camp, but it's working its way into comedy. And I also recently wrote a piece on the Belladonna called The Daily Life of Me 40 Pounds Lighter. And it's like exactly what you said, where I go on piggyback rides and I read Ulysses and everything changes, sort of playing off of that sort of idealized version of skinny me that I took to weight loss camp 12 years ago. So it's carried with me for this entire time.
I love it. I'm so excited. I'm going to follow you so closely. And I'm just thinking, add into your routine, right, the moment you're able to do a tuck-in. Oh, yes, we know what a tuck-in. Of course, all the men out there going, what the hell is she talking about? Honey, listen, we're talking about wearing a pair of jeans, a really nice, you know, like either a T-shirt or a shirt, and you could tuck that sucker in, and you wear a four-letter word, belt. You got a belt there, and you do not have, oh, no, you don't have muffin top, man. You got that extra leak thing going on. No, all of a sudden it's looking pretty sleek, and that's when you hop on someone's back and you do the piggyback. Oh, my gosh, we got a comedy routine going here, Taylor. Come on, this would be hysterical.
We're good.
Okay, everyone out there, we've been talking to Taylor K. Phillips. She's just a riot, a writer and a comedian living in New York City. She's going to be writing a book about the truth about weight loss camps. And she's been sharing with us what happened to her during that time 12 years ago when she discovered her journal entries. And oh gosh, where she is today, 12 years later, as she's sharing this both through her comedy, her writing, and we can't wait for that book. So, Taylor, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And everyone out there, please take a minute to hit iTunes and rate and review this show. Good man, this has been good. We love Taylor. Go, Taylor. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. I'm host of the Her podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. And hey, stay well.